in the NBA. You play a game, then you get on the plane, fly out to your next destination. Suns are taking on Toronto tomorrow night. Al and Tim will have the play-by-play call at 5:30, but Tim Kempton is not in Toronto as the team is staying in Indiana the night and then flying out to Toronto later today to get in an extra practice. So TK had the time to grab the Coulter Automotive Group sports line and call in. Tim, I cheated and looked at the weather. How you doing in Indianapolis right now?
Just enjoying the cold, brisk air of Indiana. Make us appreciate that nice weather we have when we get home.
Oh, that's nice of you, because if I'm correct in my geography, you made the horrific decision in your life to actually live in Indiana for about 4 years of your life, right?
Yeah, I sure did. The great University of Notre Dame was home for a couple of years.
How did you enjoy your time in Indiana and Notre Dame? Don't forget about that.
love the Midwest, all the lakes around here. It's phenomenal. Great people.
That's fun. I got to tell you, Tim, I don't know how many times I've heard it. I like Igor the guy, but how many times have I heard at a post-game press conference so far, we didn't show up? And he dropped that line again, and you were right there to watch a 20-point deficit in the first quarter. What's weird about it is I get the feeling when Devin Booker is playing, guys stand. So I'm not going to say the dumb thing, they're a better team without Devin Booker, but, man, do they stand around and do nothing when D-Book's in there? Do you see the same thing?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And that's on the players and Devin himself trying to figure that out. You look the other night playing against the Denver Nuggets, what, 28 assists on 35, 36 buckets. The ball's moving. And Devin's smart enough. Listen, he's going to be a great player, and the team and the Suns are going to figure it out because their roster has definitely gotten better. But, yeah, you have to keep moving. You have to keep making plays for teammates no matter who's on the floor, whether it's LeBron James, Devin Booker, or whoever else you want to throw out there. And last night was a great example of it. You look at the Indiana Pacers and how they've been playing all year long. They mm-hmm. score 131 points, and not one player had over 20 points. So you got seven guys in double figures. They're moving the ball. They're sharing it. Doesn't matter who scores, you know, but if you're open, then it's your shot. Take it, because they're confident in each other. And that's the maturity level that the Indiana Pacers are at, that other teams are at, that the Suns haven't achieved yet. Because of where they are in their growth.
Timmy, what did you think of the officiating
terrible.
Last night? Honestly, you've seen this pattern over and over again, correct?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, you know, you try to stay away from it within the game, but it's becoming so bad that it is. It's got to be a topic every night. And I don't know if it's fair to the officials. I don't know who's telling them. I even said last night on the broadcast, I'd love to go to a training session to figure out what they're telling these guys to do, because it is just so horrendous the way you just run into someone, you're going to get a foul. You know, last night, Sixers 149, Hawks 142, Warriors 142, Pacers 131. The offense is just so artificially inflated in the NBA game right now. It's bad. You're in an era of some of the most talented players that have ever played the game, and it's really bad basketball, and it shouldn't be that way right now.
You're listening to Tim Kempton. The stats that back up his point is the Suns shot 50% in two ways, 50% from the free throw line, and they shot 50% worth of free throws compared to what Indiana shot, as the Suns shot 18 free throws and the Pacers shot 36. And TK, I'm worried about something. Two technicals last night, and I've been bringing this up for a while. I will not argue Igor's brilliant basketball mind and the amount of good basketball people, yourself included, who has told me how knowledgeable this guy is about the game. But you also know there are guys that are just assistant coaches. And I'm thinking, if he doesn't start standing up to refs and yelling at them and throwing throwing a fit. I know it might look silly, but you know full well, players need to know the coach has their back. And I see him too calm while the refs are just running over these guys. Am I on to something?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You know, that's not Igor's personality to do that. I've even said, if you go back and look at some of the sound checks, where I've said Igor may have to take a tee here for his team because just that fact that the refs are running over him and whatnot. That's not Igor's style. He's trying to get these guys because they're the players in some regards. We know Josh Jackson is an emotional guy.
Mm-hmm.
We know TJ Warren, when he gets frustrated, he says something. So Igor is actually trying to play the other way, so it doesn't get worse.
Okay.
Almost to that fact, I agree. There are sometimes a head coach has got to stand up, and we may see it going further down the line here. This is Igor's first year. We're halfway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
He may get that later on in the season, but right now he's just trying to set a tone with his team that let's take care of what we control and not really, you know, rely or worry about the officiating. Now, that obviously may change in the second half here, and I understand it. But I've even said it on a couple of broadcasts where I thought the officiating was getting out of hand, that he needed to take a tee.
You should have stood up and got the tee. You know, you should have done it, Timmy.
Hey, if you guys listen to the microphone, there are times that I try to get a tee when I take my headset off and yell at the officials. But we're only
so
close
Timmy,
enough to yell at them in five places.
Oh, I
know. So
that's
Timmy,
a problem. High above the.
You're telling me this is not a philosophy of Igor Kokoshkov. This is not a philosophy
exactly.
of his.
Mm-hmm.
This is just his personality. Is that he can control himself that much?
That's
the amazing thing. I look at him and yes, you know where there's a bad call, and especially at home. When they're shooting free throws on our end where Al and I sit, you know, there's a bad call. I'll take off my headset and I'll look at Igor and look at him talking to the official. And I'm ready to jump over and just throttle the official. And Igor's that's just his personality. It is.
Wow.
We're talking to at Suns TK, Tim Kempton, color analyst of the Phoenix Suns. Okay, here's something else I'm worried about. Your job today is to try to make me feel better. You've heard of the phrase quarterback whisperer. I brought up today, I think there's a Josh Jackson whisperer. Sometimes this kid is fantastic, and other games it's like somebody's in his head, a family member, an agent, something, and he just has the dumbest turnovers, whipping the ball around without looking and then thinking it's a no-look pass when it's no, the guy's not even open. And then the shot selection is just, I'm tired of this, I want to score. And it's like one game versus another, and I don't understand it. I believe in the kid, but man, he's got to just listen to coaches. Do you kind of worry about who he's listening to?
No, I don't think he's. When you have a player like Josh, you have to give him a little bit of leeway because that's what makes Josh good when he's really good. Is that aggressiveness, that kind of living on the edge? That's who Josh Jackson is, and he's got to really figure it out himself. The best way to do that is to watch film and for him to see it himself, because he doesn't, you know, you can tell him all those things, but Josh is still thinking, well, that was a good play. You have to show it to him for him to visualize it and see that it wasn't, because he's that guy that has to play with that edge. He's got to kind of play with a little bit of that out of control type player for him to be effective. I understand exactly what you mean, that sometimes it looks really, really bad. But when he's really, really good, and I think that's part of the maturation process.
Okay.
I think that's Josh getting more playing time, getting a bigger role, because I think he's played fairly well this year, and he's played exceptionally well when he's been on.
Yeah.
Timmy,
yeah.
You know, pull up some video, if you will, on your phone of Ric Flair and show it to Igor, okay?
Well, it couldn't happen at a better time. We're going to Charlotte later in the week. You know, and Rick still lives in the Charlotte area.
Hey,
Ron, you'll appreciate this. When This is actually the 30th anniversary of the Charlotte Hornets. Back in the day, that first year when I was an original Charlotte Hornet, that was the heyday. Ric Flair and those guys used to come in the locker room all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe it. You got to show Igor some video of Ric Flair
and
tell him, go Ric Flair.
Yeah. Just Tim Kempton and Ric Flair. Fantastic. Have a safe trip to Toronto, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, DK.
Great talking to you guys. Thanks for having me.